We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to stay with us. Heavenly Father, we're truly thankful today for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people. We're praying that the Holy Spirit will be with us here in the studio. We also pray that the Holy Spirit will be there where our listeners are, that you will take our broadcast, take our effort, and make it a blessing to each and to everyone in our congregation. We also pray for them that you'll remember them in their burdens and their cares and their needs, for we know that you love everyone and you care for everyone, and you've told us to cast all of our care upon you, for you care for us. So bless this broadcast and bless this precious people. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
There is a God, and only one, who made the earth and sun. He made all things, created man according to his plan. There is a God,
there is a God,
and he is real,
and he is real
deep in my heart.
Deep in my heart.
His love I feel.
His love I feel.
When I am laid.
When I am laid.
Beneath the sod.
Beneath the sod.
I'll see and know.
I'll see and know.
There is a God. Was lost in sin and shame, the blessed Savior came. He lifted me on higher ground for heaven. There is a God,
and He is
real.
Deep in my heart,
His love I feel.
When I am laid
beneath the sod,
I'll see and know.
God.
There is a God.
There is a God.
And He is real.
And He is real.
Deep in my heart.
Deep in my heart.
His love I feel.
His love I feel.
When I am laid.
When I am laid.
Beneath the sod.
Beneath the sod.
I'll see and know.
I'll see and know.
Our subject today, the Christian doctrine of God. And our text of Scripture is the latter part of verse 6 of chapter 11 of Hebrews, which declares, "They that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Now, no formal statement of the doctrine of God is found in the Bible. However, the many direct statements about Him give us a rather complete picture of Him. No effort is made to prove His existence, which is everywhere assumed. When you pick up your Bible and you turn to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1 and 1, you simply read that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You do not find an argument there to try to prove there is a God. It is assumed everywhere. Now, the atheist is barely noticed, and no effort is made to answer their arguments in regard to whether there is a God or not. Only thing I would call your attention to at the moment is the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The Christian idea of God begins with the thought of one isolated being who is entirely distinct from all other beings. The Bible distinctly teaches there is but one God. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God besides me. Isaiah 45 and 5. There is one God and Father of all, who is above all and in you all. So Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. Ephesus or Ephesians 4 and 6. The idea of more than one God came sometime after man sinned. The Apostle Paul tells us, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, but because they were vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts became darkened. Romans 1 and 21. As a result, they began to worship birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Also, the sun, the moon, and the stars. We read in the Bible later on where Israel, the nation of Israel, some of them got so far away from God that they began to worship the god of Moloch, And Solomon was the first one. He built a temple or a place of worship for this God there in Jerusalem after he married those strange women or Gentile women. He was the first one that built a temple for them or a building for them. But they got so far away from God that they began to burn their children to the god of Moloch, which was a god of fire. They had an image there that had arms sticking out, and they would lay their little children in the arms of that image and would burn them to death. And other ways we read in the Bible where people got away from God. We read about how there in the earlier days in the book of Genesis, they began to build a tower to heaven, which was endeavoring to build their own way to heaven. So it wasn't so long after the creation of man and after he fell into sin until people began to worship various gods and forgot the true and the living God. But he is always represented as being conscious of his own thoughts and feelings and as acting freely. He is also aware of the thoughts and the feelings and the deeds of men, and whether he approves or whether he disapproves, God is aware of them. Some people look upon God as an impersonal influence, some sort of person, and the Bible always regards him as a person. And so he is a person, and he not only is a person with his own thoughts and deeds and actions, but he also knows the very thoughts and feelings and deeds of men, whether they be good or whether they be evil. Now, God is a spirit. He's not a physical human being. God is a spirit. Jesus told the woman at the well there in Samaria that truth. She said, "Our fathers worship in these mountains or in this mountain, but you Jews, you say Jerusalem is the place to worship." And Jesus informed her the hour was coming and now is when the true worshipers would worship God in spirit and in truth. Not at Jerusalem, not in this mountain, but they would worship in spirit and in truth. Again, God is a spirit, and if we're going to worship him, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, the faculties of spirit are entirely distinct from the properties of matter. Love, justice, holiness belong to the spirit world and to the spirit of man and not to the physical man. God never changes. That is why it is said he is immutable. His attributes, his nature never changes. The Bible declares the unchangeableness of God. "For I am the Lord, I change not." Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. That is not to say that he cannot change his attitude or his actions. When a sinner repents of his sins and comes to God with true godly sorrow, God turns away his wrath and comforts and forgives that repentant heart. He is the eternal God. Since God is immutable, he is of necessity eternal. Since he does not change, he always has been, and he always will be what he is now. Eternal means without beginning or ending. He is the Alpha and the Omega. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. So we read in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So we read in Psalms 90 and 2. While we cannot comprehend the meaning of eternity, yet we can conceive of God only as eternal. No one created him. He is from everlasting to everlasting. Therefore, he is immutable. Now, the omniscience of God. And this word omniscience simply means that God possesses complete knowledge of everything. God knows his own plans. God was not surprised by man's sin and had to make some hurry up and make some plan to redeem him. Some people seem to think that God was taken by surprise. No, God knows all things. And the plan of redemption, the plan of atonement through Christ was made before the world was ever created. Peter informs us of this fact in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 through 21. And he says there in those scriptures, who verily was ordained before the foundation of the world. Yes, it was settled in the mind of God that the one we know as Jesus Christ would come into this world to redeem man before he ever made the world. Now, God knows the affairs of men. Thou compassest me my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. So we read in Psalm 139, verses 3 and 4. God knows the future, the many prophecies given in the Bible, and so faithfully fulfilled is enough to show that God knows the future. If he did not, we could not speak of him as being omniscience. I have often said one of the greatest proofs to me of the infallibility of the Bible is the many prophecies that were made. Now, I know there was a woman by the name of Jane Dixon some years ago that made a bunch of predictions. Well, if I made enough predictions, sooner or later, I'd get some of them right. But I do not refer to the prophecies of the Bible as predictions. They, holy men of old, wrote the scriptures as they were moved and motivated by the Spirit of God. And God knew the future, and he was able to tell these men to write events that would be coming to pass even hundreds of years later. I suppose that's one reason why so many people oppose and disregard the book of Daniel. It has some outstanding, miraculous prophecies in it. And they're not predictions, they are prophecies, and every one of them has come true. So God knows the future. And I say the many prophecies given in the Bible and so faithfully fulfilled is enough to show that God knows the future. And I again say, if we did not believe that, if we did not think that was true, then we could not speak of God of omniscience. God foreknows the free acts of men. Men have said that the human will is unpredictable, and therefore what men will do cannot be foreknown. Now, well, that might be quite true as far as man and man's ability is concerned, but Christ knew that Peter would deny him. He knew that Judas would betray him, and he knew that he would be crucified, and he knew that he would be raised the third day. So this idea that God cannot know the future is not biblically sound. It's men's reasoning. The fact that God foreknows the future does not give any support to the false teachings of predestination. And I would like to emphasize that fact. The fact that God foreknows the future does not give any support to the false teaching of predestination. To foreknow that a thing will be is not to foreknow that it must be, or that it could not have been otherwise. The fact that God foreknew these things does not mean that God ordained it to be so. God has made us free moral beings with the responsibility of choosing. It is not the foreknowledge of God that determines the free acts of men. God knows what we will decide freely to do, though He is not responsible for our decisions. Again, God made us free moral agents, and we are responsible for our decisions. We are responsible for our acts. And the fact that God knows what we're going to do does not mean that God preordained it to be that way. Some have asked, if God foresees what evil men will do, why does He not prevent it? How many times have you heard people say, why didn't God stop it? Why didn't God prevent it? Well, He may well do so in answer to some saint's prayer in regard to some things. But if He always prevented men from making wrong decisions and taking wrong actions, He would be taking away man's free will. And again, God made man free with a free will. He did not predestinate these things. God made man with a free will, and man is responsible for the decisions that he makes. Now, we think of the omnipresence of God. Omnipresence means everywhere present. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. That's Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10. In my praying for the requests that come into us here in Hagerstown, many times I think of those, we get requests from Africa and other parts of the world, and I kneel to pray. I think, well, you know, God is there, whether it's in a foreign land or whether it's in one of our own states. God is there. God is everywhere. I think of that, and then I think, well, there is no such thing as distance with God. He did not go with the men to the moon when they went there. He was already there. God's presence is not always felt. God is not with false worshipers in the same sense that He is with the saints of God who are met to worship in spirit and in truth. He is not in the heart of the sinner as He is in the heart of the sanctified saint. That does not change the fact that He is everywhere. Now we look at the thought of the omnipotence of God. He is declared to be the Almighty God. He told Abraham, I am the Almighty God. Walk thou before me and be thou perfect. Genesis 17 and 1. And we read in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6, how a multitude in heaven declared, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And Jesus Christ said of the Father, with God all things are possible. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26. In saying that God is almighty, we do not claim that He can do what is absurd or contradictory. We do not claim that He can make a statement that is true and false. We do say, as the Scriptures do, that He cannot lie. In asserting that God is omnipotent, we mean that He is unrestrained power, or He has unrestrained power, to do anything consistent with His own nature. He needs but to speak the word or to will a thing to be done, and it is done. Even the Lord Jesus Christ had that power. For we read in the Scriptures how that a centurion came to Jesus, telling him that his servant was sick near to death. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. And the man said, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. All you need to do is speak the word. I'm a man of authority. I have men under me. I tell them to go here, do this, go there and do that. And I know that you have the power. Just speak the word, and it will be done. And Jesus marveled at the man, and he said he had not found so great a faith in all of Israel. So God is omnipotent. He is everywhere, and he has all power, and he has all understanding. It is this Almighty God who has given us life and breath, and the one that we must give an account of to in the day of judgment. Yes, God is the one who has given us life, and he has given us the responsibility of choosing free will, and we must come before the Lord in judgment and give an account of the life that we lived. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. We trust the Holy Spirit has conveyed the truth to the hearts of our listeners. And we pray that we shall be able to see good accomplished through our efforts today. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If our broadcast has been a blessing to you, it would be an encouragement to us if you'd let us know. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Now our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our fax number is 301-739-7173. 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. Remember, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine there on our webpage, and you can also join us in our services. They are broadcast live over the internet, and our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our Sunday evening service begins at 6, and our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. You are invited to be with us, and we pray that you'll be blessed by being with us, and we trust that our broadcast is also a blessing to you. We invite you to be with us next week, when again, the Lord willing, we come your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the Lord's blessings abide, is our prayer.
Oh, precious Bible, burning words from heaven, we'll ever cherish thee in our hearts. Sweet is the counsel by thy pages given, on life's dark ocean our only chart. Blessed Bible, blessed Bible, joyful tidings from our home. Thou art the rock of everlasting ages, hope of eternal bliss at heaven's throne. O precious volume, only in thy pages we read the duty of all our race. Only thy sunbeam shining through the ages reveal the wonders of saving grace. Blessed Bible, blessed Bible, joyful tidings from our home. Thou art the rock of everlasting ages, hope of eternal bliss at heaven's throne. This book of heaven shall endure forever, and from its wisdom we'll never turn. Weighed in its balance, all the creeds that sever are only stubble ere long to burn. Blessed Bible, blessed Bible, joyful tidings from our home. Thou art the rock of everlasting ages, hope of eternal bliss at heaven's throne. Dear Book of Mercy, on thy sure foundation, we build a dwelling place for the soul. Hearing and doing all thy revelation, it stands unshaken, the billows roll. Blessed Bible, blessed Bible, joyful tidings from our home. Thou art the rock of everlasting ages, hope of eternal bliss at heaven.